Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 1. The title of the message today is Missionary Work, Missionary Work, and we're going to study verses 1 through 11. And this really does talk about missionary work. It talks about how it works, how it happens, how it's funded. And so we will look at this in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 11. And I will read verse 1, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to worship you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. I pray that you would just clear my thoughts and focus me on your word. And please just help us to preach your word. If there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray that you would save them for your glory this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Missionary work. So the first thing that we see in this passage, Paul has just got through talking to the church about the resurrection of the dead in chapter 15. And then he goes into this section of the letter, which for us is chapter 16. And he begins to talk about an offering that was being taken up for the saints in Jerusalem. This was a missions offering. And that's the first thing that we see, the missions offering. The missions offering. And verse 1 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Now notice that this is not a collection from the saints. This is not talking about tithing. This is a collection for the saints. This was an offering that was being taken up in the church for the saints at Jerusalem. You see, the church at Jerusalem had been going through some hard times. And when a church goes through hard times and they don't have proper funding and people cannot buy, because the church is people. You know, when you were a kid, you learned, I don't even remember how to do this now. What is it? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up, and here's all the people. Okay, that's what we learned when we were kids. Well, really, the Bible teaches that the people are the church. We're the body of Christ. And so, if the people were not able to buy food and they weren't able to buy the necessary things that they needed and they weren't able to do what they needed to do, the church could not function properly. And so, Paul went around collecting money and taking up money so that he could help the church at Jerusalem to do what it needed to do. And so this was a collection for the saints. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, that is Sunday, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So on the first day of the week, on Sunday, they were to lay aside and store up as God had prospered them. And Paul didn't want there to be any gatherings when he came. The reason for this is because Paul was very sensitive to the idea that people would say that he was mismanaging money. He didn't want anyone to say that he was doing something dishonest or that he was just preaching for money. And so he said that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul was especially sensitive to this in the church at Corinth. In fact, he told the church at Corinth that ministers had a right to be paid for their preaching and for their ministry, but he said, I've used none of these things. Paul said, I have labored with my own hands. He went out. He wouldn't take money from them. He worked a job. He had his own business. It was a tent-making business, and that's what he did. And Paul didn't do that everywhere, but he certainly did it at Corinth. And he did not want, in this church that had so much division and so many issues, he didn't want a certain group of people to begin to say, well, Paul's just doing this to get money from us. The old money-grubbing preacher thing. And so that's what he did. So even in this missions offering, which wouldn't have even gone to him but was going to the church at Jerusalem, he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 7, every man according, or excuse me, this is in 2 Corinthians. And I want to bring this verse in because this is talking about the same offering, and this will help us to understand what kind of an offering this was. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this is not talking about a tithe. The tithe is a fixed amount of 10%. This is talking about a free will missions offering. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, God will take money from you if you're a grouch too, but God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to be happy when you give. God wants you to be happy when you give to the church too. That's why some preachers say, if you don't tithe, God will curse you. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that if it makes you angry to tithe, then don't tithe. Give. Give. Give what makes you happy. Now, I believe that the tithe was set in the Old Testament, and it was something that was set in the Old Testament, and I believe that a New Testament believer who's been saved by grace and is not under the law should love the Lord at least as much as a Jew under the law loved him. And so I believe it's a good standard to tithe. 10% is a good standard. But if tithing, I heard one preacher one time, he was complaining on Facebook. A lot of people complain on Facebook. And he was talking about how, well, his kids couldn't have things that other people's kids could have because he was faithful to tithe, and how part of the suffering that we have to endure for Christ is tithing. And I thought, you need to quit tithing. Because, you know, you've got a terrible attitude. That's the wrong attitude. If you begrudge giving 10%, give 5. Give 2. Give something. God will bless you for giving something, and then He'll increase what you're giving. But that's talking about funding the church. When we talk about tithing, we're talking about how the church is funded. But this was not a set amount. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. People for this offering, this missions offering, were to give whatever they purposed to give in their heart. Somebody might say, I'm going to give a little. Some might say, I'm going to give a lot. If we were putting it in today's terms, some might say, I'm going to give $5. Some might say, I'm giving 10. I want to give 10. Some might say, I want to give 100. But they gave whatever they purposed in their heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Nor of necessity. Don't feel like you have to do this. This missions offering is a free will offering. For God loves a cheerful giver. So we see about this missions offering that the offering was to be set aside on the first day of the week or Sunday. Number two, it was to be according to what God had provided. In other words, we're not like the guys on TV that say, you know, Robert Tilton, that con artist that used to be on TV all the time, Robert Tilton would get on TV and he said, now, God, you may say, Brother Tilton, I feel like that God wants me to give $100. Well, I don't have such little faith. Give 1,000. You say, I don't have 1,000. Well, write the check for 1,000 and God will provide it. Now that's hogwash. It's ridiculous. The truth of the matter is that you have to give according to what God provides. It was to be according to what God provided. Number three, it was not to be forced giving, but an amount that they had purposed in their hearts to give and that they wanted to give. And number four, everybody participated. Paul wanted everybody to participate. Paul didn't want everybody to participate of necessity. Paul wanted everybody to participate because they were going to get a blessing out of missions giving. Missions giving will bless you. And so Paul wanted 100% participation. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 16. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now notice here in this verse that the church not only gave, but they went. They went. We should both give and go. Paul didn't just want them to give money and send it off to the far-off church in Jerusalem, but he wanted them to appoint people to go to take the money. And that is a good principle, is that we, when we give to missions, we not only need to support missionaries through a free will missions offering, but we also need to go and visit mission fields. It is completely unscriptural to just throw money at something and never see it and never know what's going on. And we get prayer letters, and that's a good thing. And sometimes we're going to start doing some Skype video conferencing with some missionaries so we can actually see them on the field. But we need to take mission trips. We need to go and see how the money's being spent, see what's going on. And it'll bless you to go on a mission trip. My wife and I have been privileged to go on a number of mission trips and almost always been blessed. There was a bus trip in Peru to Chile that I didn't enjoy at all. Got very sick on that trip. But at any rate, we've almost always been blessed. Don't ever travel by bus in South America. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how cheap they tell you it's going to be. Don't ever do it. Fly. Always fly. But at any rate, the church not only gave, they went. And we should both give and go. And then in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So Paul said, if I need to go to Jerusalem, then your people from your church will go with me. We'll take a mission trip together. We'll go deliver the money together. So when you have people go together, there's accountability. It's not just one person doing it. When you have people go together, there's teamwork. And there is mission work, and that is how missions is to be funded. It is to be funded through a free will offering of the church, where people say, this is how much God's put on my heart to give, this is what I'm going to give, and then the church should not just give, but we should also go. So we've seen the missions offering, now we're going to look at the missions trip. The missions trip. Verse 5, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Now, Paul was an apostle, but he did the work of what a modern-day missionary does. A modern-day missionary would go to foreign lands. Some travel from place to place. Some stay mainly in one place. Paul did stay in some places over lengths of time, but a modern missionary would go and travel and preach the gospel and start churches, and that's what Paul did. So he says, now I will come unto you. He wanted to visit them when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Now, I've got a map here. It is more than likely that Paul was in Ephesus when he wrote the letter. The scripture seems to indicate that. Now, if you have one of the Bibles that has at the end of it where it was written from, it doesn't say Ephesus, but that was added by men. The inspired scripture would seem to indicate he was in Ephesus. And so the green arrow there points to Ephesus. Now, Corinth was just across the sea from Ephesus. The red arrow kind of points to Corinth. It's actually on the opposite side of the land there, but it points to the name Corinth. And so if Paul had wanted to go to Corinth the quickest way, he would have hopped on a boat and just traveled straight across to Corinth. But he said that he was going to pass through Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is where you see the little gold icon of the hiker up there in Macedonia. So Paul went the long way around. But God had directed him. It was his desire. He wanted to go up through Macedonia. And then he said, when I'm gone through Macedonia, I'll come down and I'll visit you guys in Corinth. And in verse 6, he says, "And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you. I may spend the winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." Now, we see here how mission trips work. And we also see why we have missionaries visit our church and why we give them money when they visit our church. Some of you may wonder, why would we pay a missionary to come by our church? Well, first of all, the missionaries we have come through are supported through the faith promise offerings of individual churches. They don't get paid a salary. They get they raise their money by faith, and they get their money from the individual churches. But you'll see that this is completely scriptural. Notice what Paul says. "And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." So the church was to bring him on his journey. That's what they were to do. Now I'm going to read to you from Adam Clark, and he comments on this. "That ye may bring me on my journey, that ye may furnish me with the means of traveling. It appears that in most cases the different churches paid his expenses to travel to other churches. Where this was not done, then he labored at his business, which was tent making, to acquire the means of traveling. But the normal practice for preachers in that day, for the apostles, for other missionaries, was to go to a church and them to fund them and give them necessary supplies and money to help them to go to the next church where they would minister." And so it's completely scriptural to have missionaries visit your church and to fund them to help them on their way. Incidentally, a church that doesn't do that is not following the New Testament pattern, and that's why we do that here. Plus, we're a missionary Baptist church. And what's a missionary Baptist church that doesn't have missionaries come in? There's some missionary Baptist churches that don't have missionaries. And what's the point of calling us a missionary Baptist church if we don't have missionaries? This is the scriptural way to do it. And this is what Paul did as a pattern for us. Verse 7. "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permits." So Paul said, "I'm not going to see you now by the way." Some people think that this literally means by the way of the sea. In other words, because he could have hopped on a boat and gone right over to see them. So some people think that's what it means. And Gill kind of gives another thought on it. "For I will not see you now by the way, just to look upon them and be gone. Be like a wayfaring man that tarries but for a night." In other words, I will not just come and visit you just for a moment and be gone, but I'm thinking about spending the winter with you. I want to spend some time with you. "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit." Paul did everything that he did according to God's will. He always wanted to do God's will, if the Lord permits, if the Lord wills it. And that's a good thing for us to do too. It's good for us to say, "I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit." We're going to have a missionary tonight, and we're excited about that. And he'll come if the Lord wills it. And he's intending to come, but the Lord has to give him the Lord has to prosper him on his journey and give him safety. And I'm actually going to be traveling this evening and this afternoon. And if the Lord Now, don't worry, my wife will be here, Jeff will be here, and if you show up, you'll be here. Everybody will be here. But I'll be traveling. I've had a planned trip, and so I'm going to be doing that. Usually pastors don't announce when they're out of town because nobody will show up, but in this church, everybody will show up, right?
Right.
Amen. So, I will be able to go to where I'm going if the Lord wills it, if the Lord permits. And so that's what Paul said. The Lord has permitted me to see some amazing things as I have traveled to different places around the world on missions trips and seen the Lord bless. Some of the most amazing stuff that I did while I was single, at least, were the trips to Venezuela, which now you can't go to Venezuela, but back then you could. And one time I arrived in Venezuela to do a pastor's conference. And I'm going to tell that story in a moment because we have another scripture that'll come up, so I'll save that. But look at verse 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Paul said, I'm in Ephesus, I'm going to stay there until Pentecost, and then I'll travel after the Pentecost holiday. Because he says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. He said, there's a great door and effectual open to me. It's one thing for God to open a door. God has to open a door for us. Man. It's another thing for a door to be opened and it to be effective. God has to open an effectual door. I remember when I went to Venezuela, it may have been the first trip or the second trip. I went twice, but we were doing a pastor's conference. And one of the things that they had been trying to do for years was to get all the Baptist pastors together to do something, and people didn't want to get together. And so God allowed us through that conference to see the Baptist pastors come together and start talking and start plans to work together. And so a great door and effectual was open unto me. And anytime there's a great door and effectual opened, there will be many adversaries. Many adversaries. I don't recall, we had some adversarial things happen on the first trip to Venezuela. I actually got locked out. We arrived, we'd been in a vehicle all night, and we arrived at night in the city that we were supposed to stay in, and I got locked out of the missionary's house. So I spent the night on his porch, and there were ants everywhere. So I prayed for God to keep the ants off of me, and I didn't get bit all night, but I slept on his front porch on the ground. And then that morning, I was led into the house, and he said, are you ready to go soul winning this morning? And I said, I'm ready to go to bed. And he said, oh, well, why? Did you not sleep well? I said, well, I slept on your porch. Knocked on the door and everything. Nobody would wake up. But anyway, but there are many adversaries. Any time that we do something for God and God opens a door and it's an effective door, there are going to be adversaries. The devil does not want God's work to go forward, so he puts up people and things to oppose us. Oh, if nobody's getting saved and the church is just doing what they've always done, then you'll not see any problems. But as soon as people start getting saved and the church starts to grow, there will be adversaries pop up. But we've had some things pop up here, and God is taking care of those things, and we praise God for that. But don't think that if this church really starts to see people saved and we start discipling people and we start to see things happen, that there won't be adversaries. We must always be prepared for that, because anytime there's a great and effectual door open to us, there are many adversaries that will come up. So we've seen the missions offering. We've seen the missions trip. And now we're going to look at how to treat young missionaries. How should we treat young missionaries? Now, verse 10. Now, if Timotheus or Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the work of the Lord as I also do. So Paul said, don't scare him when he comes. He's young. Let him be with you without fear. Don't let him be intimidated. A lot of times, older Christians can kind of have an attitude towards younger Christians, like, you don't know what you're doing. Go sit down. That's one of the biggest things with older preachers. In the people I came from, it's not really a denomination, but it's another group of Baptists that I came from. The younger generation really wants to do something, and the older preachers think the younger generation is terrible because they want to change things. And so there's constantly this thing, instead of mentoring the younger preachers, they criticize them constantly. And I think that's a terrible thing. And God has put older preachers around to mentor and to help younger preachers because they've already been down that road. And so Paul is simply saying to Timothy, or to these people, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the work of the Lord as I also do. We're all doing the same work, young and old. We're trying to win souls to Christ. We're trying to disciple people. We're trying to get the gospel out. And if a young man does it a little differently, but he believes in the same Bible and the same Jesus, and he preaches the same gospel, let's help him. Let's encourage him. Let's not criticize him because he doesn't wear a tie and he doesn't wear a suit and he does things a little bit differently. But let's encourage him and let's help him. And that's what Paul is telling them to do. Don't scare him. He works the work of the Lord as I also do. Verse 11. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So Paul says, I want Timothy, if he comes to you, don't despise him, don't look down on him, but help him in his journey, the same way that you're going to help me when I come through. Help him, conduct him forth in peace, give him what he needs, go with him if he needs you to, but help him to get to me, because he's passing through, he's doing a missionary's work, he's doing the same work that I do. Help him, conduct him forth in peace. And so when we have these young missionaries come through the church who are in their 20s, who are young people, don't look on them as being too young to do the work or too inexperienced, but rather let's encourage them. Let's look on them. They are preaching the gospel. They are sacrificing their lives to go take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, and in some cases, the uttermost parts of the United States where nobody else wants to go. And so let's conduct them forth in peace. Let's encourage them. Let's help the young missionaries as they come through our church. So I hope tonight when this young missionary couple comes that you'll be an encouragement to them. Go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the scripture which tell us about missionary work. I thank you that you are sending forth people, that you're calling people to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. I thank you that we have a church that believes in missions and is involved in missions. And I pray that we would be an encouragement to missionaries that come through and help them on their journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. We do pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you would convict them today and save their souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.